Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Rocket Nation to another installment podcast of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Wanted to bring out the new year, as what the title said, and basically because there was no show on the other network that Rocket represents, Worldwide Core Radio, due to a work schedule, was unable to broadcast a show yesterday. So figured I would do at least two podcast this week in place of the normal one-hour show that I do on the other network. A lot has changed. You know, first of all, happy 2014 to everybody. A lot has changed the last 24 to 48 hours. Based off the last broadcast that we had, there have been coaching changes. Playoff positions have been determined. Playoff matchups have been determined in the NFL. We've already had some bowl games that went down. In just about 25 minutes, the Rose Bowl matchup between Stanford and Michigan State will go down on ESPN. You can check your local ESPN network for channel times and locations. So basically, the game will take place at 5 o'clock. I'm looking forward to it personally. I've been riding Michigan State a lot this year, their football team, especially the last 3 or 4 years. This team's just gotten one step better each year. And they did it this year with Connor Cook, who's a freshman quarterback, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2,423 passing yards. The running game has been good, even without Le'Veon Bell, who was drafted this past year by Pittsburgh and has established himself in the NFL. Jeremy Langford has been phenomenal. 8 straight games with 100-plus yards rushing. He's been wonderful. He certainly has picked up the slack. The defense has been great with guys like Curtis Drummond, you know, anchoring that secondary. They've made phenomenal transition plays this year, just getting better and better and better. It's been a while since Michigan has been in a bowl game of this magnitude. It's been a long time. And, again, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they're finally getting better, you know, year by year. It's a progression period. But at the same time, this team has overcome hurdles and leaps and bounds to get to where they are right now, and I'm happy for them. I'm very happy for them. Very, very happy for them. Basically, like I said, there's been some bowl games that have already taken place right now. We just had one that finished up in the Outback Bowl with LSU beating number 16, LSU beating Iowa State in the Outback Bowl. 21-14 was that score. We had a little bit of controversy late with Mark Weissman, who was hit in the arm. The ball came out. The referees originally called it a fumble because it was a live ball, but they decided to go through the replay booth and turn it into a reversible call, which it was. Iowa scored a touchdown on the very next play. But it wasn't enough. LSU recovered an onside kick, and they hold on to win 21-14. They were pretty much in control of this game from the start. Anthony Jennings only completed just 8 of 20 passes for 88 yards, and he was sacked 4 times and threw an interception. But it was mainly the running game. Jeremy Hill, 28 carries, 216 yards and a touchdown. Jennings himself also had a rushing touchdown, but he did have minus 31 yards. That touchdown run was 14 in the second quarter. So basically, Jennings and Hill provided the rushing attack, and that turned out to be the end of the game. And I'm sorry, that was not Mark Weissman who was hit and that ball came out. That was C.J. Beathard, this backup quarterback who came in at the end of the game, completing 4 of 7 passes for 55 yards and that touchdown. The only offensive passing touchdown for Iowa State. The other touchdown was by Weissman himself, who had a 2-yard touchdown run in the third quarter, which was Iowa's first score of the game. LSU hangs on to win 21-14. They are the 2014 Outback Bowl champions. Again, there were other games that took place today, you know, to start off the new year. We had an upset that transpired today. Number 22 Georgia going down to Nebraska 24-19. Georgia went for it on fourth down late at the end of the game, and the pass was incomplete, and Nebraska hangs on to win. Also, we had another game that took place today. There have been a few. Number 9 South Carolina, led by defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, beating number 19 Wisconsin 34-24, and North Texas beating UNLV 36-14. This was a good game. It was a good game. The Nebraska Georgia game was the Gator Bowl, I should say. The Wisconsin South Carolina game was known as the Capital One Bowl. the Capital One Bowl game, actually the Florida Citrus Bowl game, and the game between UNLV and North Texas was known as the Cotton Bowl this year. At Texas, sometimes known as the Cotton State, I should say, North Texas lives up to its name, and they win big. We also have some breaking news that just went down an hour ago. Teddy Bridgewater, who's a junior, and basically what's going down is he is going to enter the NFL draft. The Louisville quarterback played phenomenal this year. He played so well this year, and I actually thought that he was going to stick around for a senior year, but sometimes if you feel like you're ready, then you go for it. You go for it. He won 27 games as a starter, including 12 this year to tie a school record. The highlight was last year's 33-23 Sugar Bowl upset of Florida, in which he earned the MVP honors. He passed for 3,970 yards and a school record 31 touchdowns this year, including a career best 447 yards with 3 touchdowns this past weekend on Saturday in a 36-9 rout of Miami in the Russell Athletic Bowl. Many people, including ESPN's Todd McShay, who's a draft expert, has him projected to go in the first round as the top overall pick. Now, the Houston Texans have the number one pick, and most people would suggest that they take a quarterback with that pick. Speaking of the Texans, they have their new head coach, and he is none other than Bill O'Brien, who had been Penn State's coach the last few years. You would have thought he was kind of looking to get out, you know, trying to reach expectations and get this team over the hump from the whole Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky fiasco that had been going down a lot longer than most of us had anticipated. Bill O'Brien will be the head coach of the Houston Texans. They reached an agreement this past weekend, and I kind of saw this coming. The Texans had fired Gary Kubiak midway through the season after he returned from collapsing on a sideline in a game between the Texans and the Indianapolis Colts on primetime on NBC. He was out a few weeks. He returned, and they just decided to cut ties with him. So they got a jump start on a new head coach who's going to be in office. O'Brien's background, real quickly, he's a former offensive coordinator for the Patriots. This is by far the college football's toughest coaching job in years, considering Joe Paterno's coaching legacy, which was tarnished with the whole Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal and Paterno's refusal, apparently, to not do anything about it, despite getting that collective amount of information and not taking it to authorities. O'Brien attempted to do some things. He attempted to get this organization on track. Things may not have worked out to his advantage or to expectations, but Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported that he will be the head coach of the Texans, and he signed a healthy contract. He signed a healthy contract. Again, this is the guy that was projected to go back into the NFL this time as a head coach. This is a guy that a lot of people had at the top of the coaching radar, and now he has found a job. Basically, he's got head coaching. He doesn't have head coaching experience, but he does have NFL-related coaching experience from 2007 to 2011. He was the Patriots' assistant coach, including the wide receivers coach, the quarterback coach, and the offensive coordinator. He even got into a shouting match with Tom Brady on the sideline in the game just a few years ago, which was interesting, very interesting. So basically, he took the job at Penn State in late December 2011, and since then he has a 15-9 coaching record at the university, including 10-6 in the Big Ten, but not competing for any bowl games, so not necessarily being bowl eligible, unfortunately. Because they were ineligible for Big Ten title and bowl games in the coaches poll because of the whole scandal that went down. So Bill O'Brien will be the new head coach of the Houston Texans, and they will have the number one overall draft pick. And most people are expected them slated to take Louisville quarterback Teddy Bridgewater with the first overall pick. There are other teams that are looking for head coaches right now. The Lions, the Redskins, the Buccaneers are all looking for head coaches. Recently, the Lions have interviewed Jim Caldwell, Tom Cable. They're expected to talk with Ken Wisenhunt after the playoffs are over, assuming how far the Chargers go. Ken Wisenhunt is the current offensive coordinator for the Chargers. And they also have Jay Gruden. He's also a possible candidate, so it's something to be looked out for these next few weeks. Lovie Smith is right now the current big name to interview for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he actually has experience with them from 1996 to 2000. He was an assistant coach under the team. He coached under Tony Dungy. He was one of the big reasons that that defense got back to being better from changing their uniforms and drafting well, bringing in guys like Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks, and anchoring that defense, which improved dramatically, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl, even though he was no longer there. He was the defensive coordinator with the Rams at the time. 2004, he took the job with the Chicago Bears. He has an 81-63 head coaching record. The last time he coached was last year. The Bears finished 10-6, but they did not qualify for the playoffs. Instead, the Vikings, who also finished 10-6, ended up taking that spot. Lovie Smith also coached the Bears to the Super Bowl. He's 3-3 all time in the postseason as a head coach, including in 2006/2007, going 2-1, losing to the Colts in the Super Bowl, having Rex Grossman as his quarterback. I mean, that says something right there for you. So he's looking to get back into coaching, and I think he's going to find a job soon. As a Lions fan, I will settle for him. I like Ken Wisenhunt. He's basically my top option right now, because I think they might end up going to look for a more offensive-minded coach to take the vacancy. They're also going to be looking for a new offensive coordinator, which I think Ken Wisenhunt himself is more than capable of doing. He can be the head coach and the offensive coordinator and have more control and more authority with the offense. So that's also something to look out for, and I'm pulling for him. I hope they interview him. I hope they give him the job. And again, there are also other head coaches that are available out there, including in the college ranks. So, again, be on the lookout. Seriously, be on the lookout. I think that there's something to be said about opportunities, and you never know who's going to hire who. You never know who's going to come out and take a head coaching opportunity in the NFL. And I certainly didn't expect it to happen back in 2006 when they brought in Rob Marinelli. That was a shockwave to me because I was not expecting that. Again, Ken Wisenhunt is a coordinator. He's a candidate. Jack Del Rio, Lovie Smith, Josh McDaniels, the Cleveland Browns have him as their number one target. John Gruden, even though he hasn't coached in a long time, about 5 or 6 years to be more exact. He's also a candidate himself. Gary Kubiak, he's still a candidate out there. Hugh Jackson, who was recently the head coach of the Raiders back in 2011, they were 8-8, and he was fired after the season was over. Again, Bill O'Brien has a candidate. He already has a job. Brian Kelly, David Shaw, Jay Gruden, Peter Carmichael, Todd Bowles, Mike Zimmer, who's never been a head coach, but he has been a great defensive coordinator. Right now he's the current defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. He was also the defensive backs coach for the Dallas Cowboys back in the mid-90s. Greg Roman, who is currently the offensive coordinator for the 49ers. Daryl Bevell, who's the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. Adam Gase, who is the current offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. And Dan Quinn, who is the Seahawks defensive coordinator. In fact, this past season, this is his first season as Seahawks defensive coordinator. So a lot of those guys in there could be other candidates too, so you never know. So that's something to be on the lookout for, and that's something to think about as far as these next couple weeks with finding head coaching opportunities. I'm looking forward to the upcoming postseason. I'm looking forward to watching at least maybe two of these games because of my schedule. You know, I'm expected to be film rehearsing, so I'm not going to get a chance to watch the two Saturday games. But that doesn't mean you can't watch them. And if you have an opportunity, you can watch it. And rest assured, yours truly will be back on Worldwide Core Radio next Tuesday, and we will have another podcast as well going towards the weekend. This is something that yours truly will be looking to do. So, again, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. But anyway, on Saturday, we got Kansas City at Indianapolis. These two teams had already faced each other a few weeks ago in Arrowhead Stadium. The Colts won. They won soundly. And, again, the Colts have had the Chiefs' number in the postseason forever, basically since 1995, where the Chiefs were they were 13-3 that year, the best record in the National Football League. A lot of people had them slated to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, at least get there, and they lost in a divisional round to a Colts team that was 9-7 and barely got in. In 2003, these two teams met each other in at Arrowhead Stadium again, and the Colts won 45-35. Basically, the Colts scored on all seven of their possessions. This was an offensive shootout, and the Colts were able to prevail in that game. And then recently in 2006, in the wild card round at the RCA Dome, the Colts won once again. And these two teams are going to be playing again this upcoming Saturday. This time the game will be at the RCA Dome. And I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm definitely looking forward to watching it. Like I said, the Colts have beaten the Chiefs just a couple weeks ago. Actually, last week, about a week or two ago, 23-7 at Arrowhead Stadium. Both teams are 11-5, but the Chiefs ended the season losing two straight, including a controversial game at the end of the regular season at San Diego. NFL, they went out and admitted that they made a mistake regarding the field goal attempt by Kansas City, which was a 41-yard miss, by the way. But considering the way that the Chargers lined up, I guess it's like a penalty if you line up a certain way to block a field goal attempt. And because of that, too many men on one side of the field, I guess, and the NFL came out and alleged that they made a mistake. Wow, what a way to end the regular season. So they sat their starters. Actually, they rested 20 of their 22 starters in that game. So most of these guys, including wide receiver Dwayne Bowe, who had a concussion, linebacker Justin Houston, a dislocated elbow, linebacker Tamba Hali with a knee problem, left tackle Brandon Albert with a hyperextended knee, are expected to be back. Are expected to be back in this contest. So basically, those guys should be ready to go. It should be an interesting game. These two teams both feel like they have a lot to prove, and they're going to duke it out this upcoming Saturday. So I'm looking forward to the matchup. The other game that's going to take place on Saturday is a very intriguing game between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints have never won a road playoff game. They're 0-5 all time. They had lost to San Francisco just a couple seasons ago in a divisional round out there at Candlestick Park. The last time these two teams faced each other was in the 2006 divisional round. The game took place at the Superdome with the Saints winning 27-24. What I remember the most about that game was Reggie Bush getting leveled by Eagles cornerback Sheldon Brown. It was one of the biggest hits I've ever seen. You want to know what's funny, though? If that play happened right now, Sheldon Brown that wasn't Sheldon Brown. That was Lito Shepard. I'm sorry. Lito Shepard would be fined a gazillion amount of money if that hit happens today, considering how they're trying to make the NFL more soft-like, more two-hand touch-like. If that play would not happen today, somebody would lose some money. And that's unfortunate, too. The interesting storyline going into this matchup is Nick Foles and Drew Brees and the connection that they have. Nick Foles grew up idolizing Drew Brees, following in his footsteps, basically playing quarterback at Westlake High School in Austin, Texas. So there's a lot to be said about the relationship between these two guys. Nick Foles was the hottest quarterback, not named Peyton Manning, in the second half of the season. Both guys, both Foles and Manning, have had seven touchdown passes in a single game this year. Brees has yet to do that, but he has thrown six touchdown passes a few times, actually. I'm looking forward to this matchup. The question is, because of the conditions, the snowy and the very, very cold, chilling conditions, can the Saints finally get over that hump and win a road playoff game? That's something that you're going to have to think about. The Saints finished 11-5. The Eagles finished 10-6, beating the Cowboys on the road to win the NFC East and going to the playoffs with some momentum in Chip Kelly's first year. And now he's going to the postseason, and a lot of people, including me, did not see this coming. The question has to be about Michael Vick, though. If you're Michael Vick, where do you go from here if the Eagles – once the Eagles' playoff run ends, assuming how far they go, what's going to happen? I don't expect him to be back with the Philadelphia Eagles next year. I expect him to move on. He said just recently that he intends to be a starting quarterback somewhere else next year. So who knows? Maybe some teams could use his services. Starting quarterback, that's up in the air. That's definitely up in the air. But he has the potential to still start at least maybe two or three more seasons. He does have the ability to still play in this game, assuming he can stay healthy and help somebody. So we will see how Michael Vick's career wages on from here. It seems like a lot of these matchups are already happened this season. On Sunday, by the way, that Kansas City-Indianapolis game will take place at 4:30, and the Saints-Eagles game will take place at 8 o'clock. Both of those games will be on NBC. On Sunday at 1 o'clock, the Chargers and Bengals will tangle. That game will be on CBS at Paul Brown Stadium, which has a little bit of history between these two teams. Not necessarily at Paul Brown Stadium, but at the old Riverfront Stadium, back when they had the artificial surface with the whole turf conditions. The 1981 AFC Championship game, I can just think about it right now. Cold, windy conditions, Dan Fouts versus Ken Anderson, those two guys duking it out, the Bengals winning, able to prevail and go on to the Super Bowl. These two teams had just faced each other a month ago in San Diego. The Bengals won that game, and so basically, this is going to be an interesting matchup between these two teams. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see this game. Basically, it's going to be an interesting matchup between the quarterbacks. I think it's going to come down to the quarterback play. These two teams faced each other on the first of last month, just approximately 1 month ago. The Bengals won that game 17-10. And despite that loss, the Chargers were still able to sneak into the playoffs, although there was a little bit of controversy, as previously explained. But, however, they are in, and this should be an interesting game. And a game that a lot of people are looking forward to the most is the 49ers versus the Packers. The Packers are 4-2 all-time against the 49ers in the playoffs, including 2-0 at Lambeau Field. These two teams faced each other last year in the divisional round, and the San Francisco 49ers won 45-31. Colin Kaepernick had a big game, a monstrous game. These two teams have faced each other earlier this year in week one, and the 49ers were able to win that game 34-28 at Candlestick Park. This game will take place at Lambeau Field, where, again, the Packers hold a prestige, beating the 49ers twice during the postseason. And both of those two times, the Packers were able to beat the 49ers in the at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. One of those years, which is the first year in 1996, they went all the way to win the Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to all these matchups. I'm going to take one road game. I like San Francisco on the road against Green Bay. I like Cincinnati at home against San Diego because Marvin Lewis needs to win that game desperately. He has no wins as a playoff head coach. I'm going to take the Eagles to beat the Saints. I like that offense. the Saints just can't win on the road to the playoffs, and until they prove it to somebody, that's just the way it's going to be. And I'm going to take the Colts to beat the Chiefs because, again, they have had their number. Well, thank you all for tuning in to another Rocket Sports Breakdown podcast. Yours truly will be back with Worldwide Core next Tuesday. Until then, care yourselves, Rocket Nation. Get ready for a power trip.